Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of The Other Identity. As always, here for your entertainment, I am the Great Landis, and along with me, my partner and co-host, Professor Awesome.
Good day, Great Landis. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, actually. Yeah. I have a cat that's currently bothering me because I am the only one home, so I can't really lock her out. Otherwise, we'll have meows in the background. But other than that, I am doing fantastic.
You're a dedicated pet owner and a wonderful man.
Thank you. So as always, I'm going to get to start the show started with a review. Right. This will be our 8th review, and I am happy to say that we have a 9th review waiting in the wings for next week. But after that, no more reviews. So I encourage you, if you'd like to get a shout out on the show, if you'd like to hear your review read, whatever it is, if you've been listening to this show since episode 1 and you think we're still terrible and you want to give us a 1-star review, tell us why. We'll fix what we can, but we'll read it here. So this review comes from Xanther, 5 stars, and he says,
"Oh yeah.
Whether you are a newcomer or to comics or an expert, this is a podcast for everyone. Always great to get a refresher on the comic universe or even an update on what's been happening in both the comic and cinematic universe. A great addition to a comic or cinematic followers podcast list."
That's a really nice one. I really appreciate that. And you know what? We've talked before about we want this show to be something that you can appreciate, whether you are a relative rookie to comics, like we want to guide you through your journey. But it makes me happy that also some people who are more diehard appreciate hearing our opinions, because it means we're covering all our bases, and that makes me really happy. So please, guys, keep the reviews coming. Like Robbie said, good or bad, we want to hear them. We want to hear what kind of job we're doing.
That's right. Now, normally right here is where we would talk about what happened in the last episode of The Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
It is.
But we just had the series finale, which means this whole show is Falcon and Winter Soldier. So before we get to that, we're going to go back a little ways here. And I'd like to know, Ben, what have you been reading recently?
Well, you know what? I just wrapped up.
Can I go first? Because mine's bad and I want to end this I want to end this segment on a good note.
Okay? Absolutely. Please. By all means, go ahead.
So, in preparation for a segment that we're doing on the Checkpoint XP National Show, which, by the way, you can listen to either on the radio or, if it's not playing anywhere near you, you can download that as a podcast by searching for Checkpoint XP.
Who hosts that show?
That would be me, Weirdbeard, and James of Dave and Chuck the Freak fame.
What a combo.
So, I read Batman Zero Point, I think is what it's called.
Is that the Fortnite thing?
This is the Batman Fortnite crossover. Now, I know that we didn't have the best things to say about the idea of the Thor Fortnite crossover, which I hadn't read.
Right.
And now I'm not sure if I should read to see if I'm as let down by it or not. But obviously, yes, these are essentially just a giant ad, right?
Right.
But I think, which isn't necessarily bad, I realize Fortnite has money, there's crossover, there's benefits to be had there in the cross promotion, but it was literally, oh my god, cats, you're fighting, just stop, you need to go. They're fighting on the desk in front of me.
Multiple cats fighting?
There are 2 cats, and they just decided to fight on the desk
Listen, tape it, put it on the internet, and get rich.
Yeah, that's how it works. Can the internet make you rich?
Absolutely.
Here's the problem. It was literally just a giant ad.
Mm-hmm.
Like there wasn't much story to it. What it literally comes down to is, there's a weird anomaly in Gotham. Batman gets sucked into it, and then he just fights and wonders because he forgets who he is, where he came from. Nobody can talk in there because nobody talks in the game, right?
Right.
So he literally tries to talk to someone who's trying to fight him, and he can't.
Yeah.
And so it's just a bunch of pages of him fighting Fortnite characters. There's no value to it as a Batman fan or a comic fan, except go play Fortnite, and that's a huge, huge letdown. It's literally the bare minimum you could have put into it.
Well, let me ask you a question. Are you a Fortnite player? Are you a Fortnite fan?
I am not a Fortnite fan or player.
So
I
do you think
Apex Legends, hold on, which is also a battle royale? If they would have done the exact same thing with Apex Legends,
mm-hmm.
would have been very disappointed in that as well.
Okay,
I just feel like there's so much more they could have done with it.
That's all I'm saying.
Which is why now I'm a little curious if they did something different with Thor to see if that would have been worthwhile or not.
Well, no, the only reason I asked the question is because I was just wondering, like, maybe you're not the target audience here. Maybe it is
diehards. I'm sure I'm not, but
I
still
felt like a bad story is a bad story.
Yeah, exactly. So, What have you been reading? Hopefully it's something that you like more than I liked this.
I had a very positive experience with the, obviously I'm years behind you on our DC Rebirth Era Challenge. You're able to take literal months off and still be far ahead of me.
Yep.
But I just came up on what they called the first event of the Rebirth universe, and that was the Justice League versus Suicide Squad series,
yes,
which was dynamite. I mean, it's a few years old at this point, but Joshua Williamson, the guy who wrote the main Justice League versus Suicide Squad book, super talented, just coming off a long run on Flash. I knew that. I was familiar with his work from there. But man, this was dynamite stuff. The you know what really stood out to me? So the villains in this crossover are Max Lord and Eclipso, and they're just terrifying. Like, they're really, like, they scared the crap out of me. And I'm, you know, an adult man. but I was really impressed by that. They rotate the artists every issue. All the art was great on this. You had tie-in issues of Justice League and Suicide Squad that added a lot to the story. You got some characters who wouldn't normally get to shine, like, in particular, Killer Frost.
It's very much a killer in Rebirth,
yeah,
man.
It's such a Killer Frost story, and it's so cool. I love the way they wrote Amanda Waller. I liked everything about it. It made me more of a fan of everything involved. It made me more of a fan of the Rebirth versions of Suicide Squad and Justice League. I'm excited to check out the Justice League of America series that spins out of this.
Yep, very good.
And then it just made me a fan of all the creators involved as well, and makes me want to read more by all these guys. So, big win for me on Justice League versus Suicide Squad.
Yep, and I don't think that it's actually been confirmed anywhere, though, but I have
a suspicion
that the Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League game that's supposed to be coming out next year, probably a little bit longer than that, given the state of the world right now, I think is based off of that story in particular. So. But that's going to be it for that, guys. We have a whole lot to talk about when it comes to The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, or should I say, Captain America and the Winter Soldier.
What?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Listen, we know that there's a ton of video game podcasts out there, but I guarantee you, you've never heard one like this one. Checkpoint Daily is one of the only podcasts for esports and gaming coming out every single day.
One of the only ones worth listening to, anyway.
That's absolutely true. So whether we're talking about the latest developments with who Nintendo decides to sue, or the LCS, we've got the lowdown. So make sure you check us out at Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, BePod Studios, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back in, everyone. Thank you, as always, for downloading this episode of The Other Identity. We wouldn't be able to do it without the downloads. So if you aren't, make sure that you're either, you know, downloading it multiple times or getting your friends to download it as well. So, Ben.
Yeah.
Falcon and the Winter Soldier, our second Disney Plus series, second entry into Marvel Phase 4. Now that we are past it, I'm not even sure where to start here. So,
yeah.
Just,
you know,
overall
what? Before
thoughts
we,
on
before,
the show.
Before we even jump in, can I say that in looking at what we've got coming up for the rest of the year from Marvel Phase 4, you realize we have 4 more TV series and 4 more movies?
It's a lot, I know.
It is a spoil of riches, and we are so fortunate to be I mean, look, with all the challenges going on in the world right now, what a ray of sunshine the Disney Plus series have been so far, and what a ray of sunshine that we're getting so much Marvel content over the next few months.
Yeah, it's absolutely insane, and I'm really, really, really looking forward to it. So,
yeah.
All right. Again, overall thoughts.
Yeah.
Where do you stand on it? What's sort of like I don't know if we want to score it so much, but you know, it's over, it's done with. So what's been on your mind these past few days as you've sort of been digesting it?
I mean, there's a lot to talk about with everything that happened here. I think first and foremost, this really was what I thought it was going to be, and that's a great showcase for Anthony Mackie and Sebastian Stan, who in the movies they were supporting characters to Steve Rogers, Captain America. We knew they were great. We knew they were talented actors. We didn't know how good they were. And so if Falcon and Winter Soldier, mission one was get these guys a little bit more love, so I want to see more of them either on the small screen or the big screen, mission accomplished. Both guys rose to the occasion and delivered absolutely dynamic performances. In particular for me, Sebastian Stan. If only because, and I've said this before, I was all in on Sam Wilson Falcon from the movies. I always thought that Bucky was a little just an afterthought, and the depth he was able to explore here, both in kind of the tragedy of dealing with his past, but also the lighter comedic moments, the camaraderie with Sam. I thought this was really a coming out party for both these characters, but in particular for the Winter Soldier.
Yeah, I think that it really kind of served in a way as an origin to their partnership, because you're right. The only reason that they had any interaction in the films was because Steve had brought them together. And as I've been reading through various Marvel properties here and there, it seems like they're always sort of teamed up in some way in the comics. And I assume, again, it's kind of sort of that same reason.
Mm-hmm.
But through this whole thing now, you know, Steve aside, like, these two guys are intertwined, you know. In the final episode, you know, we got that scene, you know, where Bucky shows up for, like, the family dinner with, like, the Wilsons and the rest of the community.
I love that.
Like, these guys are family now. And
right.
I think the thing that I didn't expect but loved, and it works perfectly, it's just that, you know, especially after seeing something like WandaVision, and just with the way that I think television shows and series usually end, you know, they want to find a way to hook you, right?
Mm-hmm.
What I really appreciate about Captain America and the Winter Soldier is that there was a happy ending here.
Yeah.
Right? Like there's no like, oh, what's the next big danger on the horizon? You know, nobody got away that they have to worry about.
Well, you know, did you see the post? Yeah, there's a post credit scene that kind of undercuts that. Did you see the post credit scene?
Wait, what is? Yes. Oh, yeah. Sure. I'm like, wait a minute. Did I?
Yeah.
Yes, I did. But I mean, as far as these TV shows or these movies have gone, yes, there's still stuff going on in
course,
the world
to be expected.
But for Sam and for Bucky right now, they're both in the best place
right
they have been that we've seen. And it was real nice to be able to turn it off and not feel this overwhelming need to know what's next.
Yeah.
What's next? What's happening next? I need to know, Marvel. It's just like, you know, good for them.
And you mentioned WandaVision, and I think that was kind of like the big thing that was looming over this was WandaVision. More so than even this is me just taking a step back. This is, you know, I've watched these shows with my wife, who's not a diehard comics fan. And I think WandaVision was more of a almost, I don't want to overstate it, but kind of like a cultural moment in that it was the show it felt like everybody was watching. And with Falcon and Winter Soldier, Captain America and the Winter Soldier, this felt more like kind of a standard. It wasn't very that experimental or that like boundary pushing. It was just a good, solid show. And I know at first I talked a lot about, well, how is it going to stack up to WandaVision? Would it have been better if it came out before WandaVision? And by the end of it, I was just like, you know what? These things are so different and they're so like exemplary of the fact that Marvel can do different things. The fact that, you know, like a Black Panther movie is not the same as a Doctor Strange movie. These two series, like, and I'm sure when we get Loki in June, it's going to be completely different once again. But that's kind of the takeaway from this series for me, is that we got to judge each of these on their own. And judged on its own, this was just a fun buddy cop action series that really just brought a lot of enjoyment. It wasn't necessarily as intense as WandaVision, but that's fine.
Yeah, so some of the things that I want to talk about here, because obviously, you know, in the next segment, we'll hunker down a little bit more on, you know, both Sam Wilson, Bucky Barnes, and John Walker. So first of all, you had mentioned the post-credit scene. This is one of the things that still sits a little weird with me, because they didn't explore it enough for my liking in this show, and I'm sure we'll get more of it later.
Mm-hmm.
But given how in the previous Captain America films, you know, when we've seen Agent 13, Sharon Carter, and,
right,
you know, knowing what her, you know, her history is in the Marvel comics. Like, you know, she really looked up and idolized, you know, her great aunt, I believe, yep. It is Peggy Carter, you know, who helped create S.H.I.E.L.D.
I feel like they change it every so often in the comics, but I think sure. That's where we are right now.
Sure. But for me, if she's truly broke bad, you know, her reveal as the power broker, I'm not completely sold on it just yet. Now, obviously, in her mind, I'm sure to some extent, at least the way that she was pleading with Carly, you know, that she thinks she's doing good.
Yeah.
But if she's really sort of broke bad, I'm not feeling it yet. And there are two trains of thoughts that I have on it. The first is something that actually somebody on Twitter had pointed out to me, that, you know, she could maybe end up serving in the next phase sort of that Nick Fury role, right?
Yeah.
But then the other idea that I had is she was walking away in that post-credits scene basically saying, you know, we have access to all sorts of power and artifacts now, even though that in tech, now that Super Soldiers is off the table, what if that's not Sharon? What if that's a Skrull?
Ooh, interesting.
Secret invasion.
That could be really. Well, listen, whether it's a Skrull or the real Sharon, I will say this. As someone who has watched Emily Van Camp, who plays Sharon Carter in multiple projects, I've seen her play a hero and I've seen her play a villain before. Mm-hmm. And I'm here to tell you, she is much better at playing a villain. So I am hoping that the Breaking Bad is an actuality. I want to see her strut her stuff as a bad guy. And I think it would be cool to have her be something that ties together multiple elements of Phase 4 and beyond. But that's an interesting theory, not one I would think of. And I think that, yeah. that could be really fun.
Which, again, not against her becoming a villain, but I need a bit more
sure.
explanation as to
right.
why.
Right.
And then finally, I think what we have to talk about here is Carly as well. You know, I
yeah.
thought that Carly Morgenthau was, again, after, you know, Vulture, Killmonger, Thanos, Marvel is sort of on a little bit of a streak here with really good villains, with really good motivations. And, you know, I know I'm not the only one, again, looking through Twitter here, that was a little let down that Carly kind of, you know, that it ended the way that it did, and
yeah.
and that she's probably not saying, I mean, it's comics, nobody's
it's comics,
ever
right.
truly dead, and I'm sure the government, you know, is going to want to study the body in some way, shape, or form, but a little disappointed that this might be where Carly's story ends.
Yeah, I think we could have gotten a little bit more mileage. I mean, the nice thing is that her organization still exists. The Flag Smashers are still out there, so we can still kind of see her legacy explored. And even if she is gone, that can be the jumping off point for the story of what happens next. But I agree with you. She was an excellent villain. I don't know the name of the actress who played her, but she was tremendous and held her own with people who were, you know, clearly much, much older, more experienced actors. And another hit for Marvel as far as a nuanced three-dimensional protagonist who's not just, I'm a bad guy who wants to take over the world.
Yep. So with that, we're going to go ahead and get into the rest. Erin Kellyman, by the way.
Oh, cool.
The actress.
Thank you.
We're going to get into the rest of them. We're going to look at the main sort of three characters, again, Sam Wilson, Bucky Barnes, John Walker, through the lens of Cap's legacy to see how each of them ended up stacking up on the other side. So stay tuned.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The esports world continues to grow, and that includes a massive emerging collegiate space. There's going to be one place where you can come and get the latest news for college esports, and that's Checkpoint On Campus, the voice of college esports. So whether it be the latest in college COD or more, make sure you check out Checkpoint On Campus on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, BPod Studios, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, guys. Falcon and the Winter Soldier, Captain America and the Winter Soldier, which, by the way,
yeah.
it has also been confirmed we are getting a Captain America 4.
Super excited about that.
Starring, of course, Anthony Mackie, and being written by Malcolm Spellman.
I saw that.
Who wrote the series as well. So,
yeah, so that's cool. So if you like...
Being able to see the threads have sort of been started here, make their way onto the big screen, very excited about
it. And before we dive into the legacy aspect, let me just say that the thing I'm most excited about, and I commented to this to my wife as we were watching it, is obviously Sam Wilson became Captain America in the comics, but... When something like that happens in the comics, you know it's a temporary thing because you know the main guy. Like Steve was always going to be back as Captain America.
Sure.
The kind of cool thing here is, like, by all indications, I'm not saying Chris Evans will never appear in a Marvel movie again, but I do think he's done full time. And I'm excited about the idea that this transition, you know, stuff that changes in the movies and in the TV shows actually is lasting change. Like, we're going to get at least a few years of this. And I'm excited about that. Like, I love the fact that change, unlike in the comics, where there's always the illusion of change. I feel like everything always goes back to normal at the end. With this, it feels like we can really move forward into something different.
That's actually a great point of view there. And let's go ahead and start with Sam Wilson then. You're right.
Right.
Because even if there is a change that seems like it's going to be permanent. For example, Miles Morales, he's going to be Spider-Man forever now, right?
Right.
But there's still a Peter Parker out there.
Yes.
And, you know, even when it comes to other characters, even if they make a permanent change in one universe, there may be other universes where that character is still around. In the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and for... millions of people, Sam Wilson is Captain America now, period.
Right.
There are going to be kids that grow up only knowing Sam Wilson.
That's really cool.
As Captain America.
I didn't think of that. That's neat.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, that's really great.
You know, so let's talk a little bit then about Cap's legacy, about Sam Wilson stepping into this role. You know, we knew through the show that it was going to take him a minute to finally sort of step into it, to finally accept it. Did it succeed? Did it work? How do you think of Sam Wilson as Captain America?
I think Sam Wilson is going to be an excellent Captain America. I think he's going to be a very different Captain America. And I do like the fact that right off the bat, whether it was using Isaiah Bradley or during the speech I gave, they didn't shy away from the fact that it's a huge deal that a black man is Captain America. They're leaning into it immediately, but kind of, it's not what defines him. I didn't walk out of the show being like, well, he's the black Captain America, but I did walk out of it being like his race is a part of how he is going to be a different kind of Cap moving forward. And I thought that was powerful to do that. And I applaud them for doing that.
It made me think back to the first episode, you know, when he was giving his speech, when he was, you know, handing the shield over, you know, he talked about how different times, you know, call for different symbols, right? Mm-hmm. Different legacies for us to sort of follow. You know, he thought the shield should be put up because what Steve Rogers represented was also from a different time.
Mm-hmm.
And even though he took the shield up and he's continuing the legacy of Captain America, you're right. He's different. Sam is going to create a different legacy, you know, unto himself. And it's such a great way of being able to continue that legacy, but also still realizing the goals and aspirations that he had. Because I don't think that in any way he went back on anything that he said or that he wanted to do. I think that Sam Wilson was the clear and only choice. And by far, as great as all of the action was, you know, seeing him fight with the shield and with the wings, I think that when he was at his most Captain America was that speech.
The speech,
at the
yeah.
end there.
It oh, was, yeah, that was totally it.
Goosebumps.
Yeah.
All right. So Bucky Barnes.
Yeah. I am really happy that, like I said in segment two, I was thrilled with how Bucky came out of this series. But even though Bucky in the comics has become Captain America before, I really feel like that is not the character's journey in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. He is not moving to be the successor. Sam makes sense as the next Captain America. The fact that Bucky has been able to carve out a niche for himself where he is a huge ally to Captain America, but his journey of redemption does not involve him taking on another identity. It involves him taking the Winter Soldier identity and redeeming that. And I think that's what we're going to see moving forward. And that's what I want for Bucky. I don't want to see him in a half-assed Captain America costume. I want to see him kicking ass as Winter Soldier.
Yeah, agree with all that as well. I think the only thing that I'm waiting for, this was very much, I think, Sam's story, right? Bucky obviously had a tremendous
journey. I think it was
journey.
A lot of Bucky's story, too. I don't necessarily agree with that. Yeah.
Give me a second.
Okay, calm down.
Bucky had a lot of growth and a lot of transformation through here, but we clearly see what Sam's path is going forward. I don't want Bucky to just be Captain America's partner,
right?
So my question here going forward is, you know, I think that Bucky was always there to support Cap and always there to make sure that he had his back, right?
Yeah.
So now that Steve's legacy is in good hands, obviously Bucky's always going to be around if Sam needs him.
Right.
But I want to know where Bucky goes next for Bucky, for the Winter Soldier, because I don't think that he should just be backing up Cap all the time.
Right? No, I agree.
So, obviously, that I think is still a huge, huge question mark.
Yeah, we gotta find something for him to do, for sure.
Yeah, I don't know enough about Bucky from the comics to know where he could potentially go from here.
Sure.
But I'm hoping that he does get to strike out on his own, whether that's his own movie or his own, you know, Disney Plus show later on. Who knows?
Yeah.
But I do hope that now that Bucky secured Steve's legacy with Sam, that Bucky's able to pursue his own at this point.
And I'll say this is a stupid thing, but something I noticed throughout this entire series, big change they made to Bucky that I liked, they cut his hair. It was huge.
Yeah,
it was huge. Looks much better.
No offense, Sebastian Stan, he looks way better with short hair. All right, and then finally, let's talk about John Walker. First of all, Wyatt Russell,
amazing,
great job.
Yep,
as John Walker here, had a little bit of I don't want to call it a redemption arc so much. I know a lot of people looking at it, and it did. I'm still grasping with it myself. This sort of like little mini redemption thing that he had in the final episode, where, you know, he ends up obviously, you know, doing the right thing, fighting with the heroes, and then obviously at the end we do get
U.S. agent deal.
Yep, coming back with, and we see Val again as well. You know, giving him his costume and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Give me your thoughts on where we end with Walker here, because I do think there was a few moments, especially during Sam's speech, where Walker's realized, I think, where and how he went wrong.
I get that, and I applaud that. And again, I think Wyatt Russell played this character tremendously. But I do align with some of the people online who are saying, well, he didn't really earn any sort of redemption. Like, he kind of just showed up in the final battle after having killed and gone crazy and done all this stuff that kind of, like, was really, really heavy. Then he just shows up, and he's, you know, patting Bucky on the back and quoting Lincoln and doing all this stuff, and it's kind of like, well, did you really earn your redemption? Like, you just kind of showed up and said, all right, guys, I'm back on your side. Like, there was no real reckoning for him. It felt like by the end of the episode, he was just like, all right, I'm ready to go be U.S. agent. And that did ring kind of hollow for me. I don't think, like, we didn't really get to see him digging deep and finding out what he regrets as far as the actions he took. He's just kind of like, on to the next thing, and that was a little disappointing for me.
Yeah, so I don't think that it was supposed to be. I don't think that we as the audience were supposed to feel the weight of a redemption. Our buddy Norris, you know, who's a host and works with Checkpoint on campus, you know, he mentioned over on Facebook, he says, you know, John fails upwards. He was dude was objectively terrible at his job.
That's a great way of putting it.
And he basically went to another precinct, got another high paying gig, and that is peak white dude in uniform, which
absolutely
he's not wrong. He also points out too that John has never been evil, right?
Right.
I wouldn't say that John was supposed to be a villain in any way. He was an antagonist to our heroes. But yeah, I've had to sit on this a little bit, and I think the problem is here is if we would have had one more episode, or maybe even another, maybe 10 to 15 minutes, just to dive into John's psyche a little bit more to see how that affected him, because obviously his consequences were that they took Captain America away from him, which obviously to us was an obvious thing to do. That probably hurt him a lot inside, but to see him suddenly just come back, you know, at the end, he's like, oh, you know, I'm back, baby, now.
Yeah.
It does seem like, from the audience's point of view, that something was missing or something was skipped there.
Yeah.
I don't think this is the end of U.S. Agent, and now that he is with a character that has traditionally become Madam Hydra, I'm sure he's going to be put into another situation like he was.
And he'll have to make a different choice.
And he'll have to make a different choice. Whether or not he makes the same choice or not, we'll see. Obviously, historically, in canon, U.S. Agent does become a good guy.
Right.
But we'll see how that ends up playing out. But I think that John Walker had some amazing moments in the show. But I think definitely out of the three, and of course it makes sense because, you know, Sam and Bucky were the stars of the show, that he didn't quite hit the nail on the head in the same way for me that the other two characters have.
Agreed.
But with that, I mean, is there anything else that you wanted to mention? That pretty much wraps up our Captain America and the Winter Soldier episode here.
No, I just think it was a lot of fun. It was a good series. And again, I'll go back to what I was saying at the beginning. Was it WandaVision? No, but it wasn't supposed to be WandaVision. Mm-hmm. It's its own thing that can be appreciated on its own. The action, by the way, was top notch. An observation my wife made was that there is a formula that we've seen with both WandaVision and this, in that the penultimate episode is all character, and then the final episode is all action. I thought that was an interesting observation, and we'll be interested to see if that keeps up. But, you know, Marvel's two for two on these so far. It's really exciting to have this kind of material to engage with. We've got Loki, What If, Black Widow, Shang-Chi, Eternals, Miss Marvel, Hawkeye, Spider-Man, Eternals.
And I think Hawkeye,
Eternals.
Yeah, should come out by the end of
Hawkeye
the,
and Miss Marvel are both due out in the fall. So,
nice. Oh, Miss Marvel, that's right. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
So we've got a lot. We're a long way away from being done with any of this stuff, and that's exciting.
That's right. All right, guys. As always, like I've said before, make sure you go and drop us a review if you want to see me dress up as a superhero. Probably not one that I want to. You gotta leave a review. You can do that on Apple Podcasts, or if you don't have access to Apple Podcasts, download iTunes, and you're able to do it, guys. But that's gonna be it for us. Make sure you tune in next week. Same other identity channel, same other identity time.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.